This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned into the show that explores the narratives of historical landmarks and places in the Klang Valley. Parliament is currently in its second session since GE14, and while the debates about policies and legislation are the things that we should pay close attention to, it's good to also take a step back and look at the surroundings. So in this monthly feature on buildings and places, we're going to look at our main symbol of democracy, the Parliament building. Before we start talking about our current Parliament building, it's good to know where our parliamentarians convened prior to its completion in 1963.
Oh, then we have to go back to 1948 in a sense, you know, when you have the Federation of Malaya. And the first, I think it's called the Federation Council building, is located within the JKR complex off Jalan Swettenham, in that area. I don't know what Jalan Swettenham is now called. And the JKR, you know, so next to Bank Negara. And there was a building there, and that the first sort of like Parliament, Malayan, this is pre-independence, what was convened. So the Federal Consultative Council met there. And after independence, before the Parliament House, this is Bangunan Parliament, was built, you had the Dewan Tunku Abdul Rahman, which was built behind what is now known as Matik. And the Dewan Tunku Abdul Rahman was built as, in a sense, the first Parliament House post-independence. The building in front, what is now, you know, like people know it as a Wow restaurant and part of the Malaysian Tourism Centre, MTC, was a house. A big house in a big garden, in a big grounds, you know, in a big compound. It was taken over post the Japanese occupation, etc., etc. People had moved out, you know, and then it was taken used for different purposes, like the British administration, the military administration, BMA, and things like that. So anyway, but back to this. So the Dewan Tunku Abdul Rahman was constructed, and that was where Parliament sat prior to this House of Parliament being built. Now, this House of Parliament, of course, was built in time for Malaysia. I mean, of course, the declaration didn't take place there, right? The declaration took place at Stadium Merdeka. But this is all part of that whole national, you know, symbols, buildings are symbols of the nation and nationhood.
That's Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia. She's our usual guest for this monthly feature, and now she's going to continue with the narrative of our current Parliament building beginning from its inception.
I think in the late 50s, when they were looking at, you know, building the Parliament, the person who was still around at that time, Jukes, Stanley Jukes, he was the person who was head of PWD. He was the one who designed and built Stadium Merdeka and also Stadium Negara in 1962. Yeah. But in the late 50s, then he came up with a concept. They had already identified the site where they wanted to have it, and he looked at that as he had produced the concept. But that was never brought forward. And the person who actually designed it was again, an architect here. His name is Shipley. And it was W. Ivor Shipley, and he was with JKR. And it was done, it was like Tunku's initiative. He was the one who wanted the Parliament House. Shipley was with JKR. Shipley then designed this building. And it was, you know, just really as that symbol, modern. It was a very modern structure, international looking, you know, we're a modern country. And it was an expression of, you know, a forward-looking nation. And I think that all of those elements together, you know, created this tower and the Dewan, right? We see Parliament, we the Rakyat, see Parliament from afar, right? It's there, it's on a hill, there's a clear vista to it. You know, the landscape is kept there. I mean, you have the grounds, it's not shielded. So it's really a strong building. It's really very dominant. But it's also very pleasant because it's quite tall. And on a hill, but they kind of flattened the hill, kind of flattened it to build the building, yeah.
Any unique design in terms of the architecture that we should be mindful of?
There was the tower, what you see in front. The tower was originally built for offices for the members of parliament, so they would have their own, like, office there. Now it's used mainly at the administration, you know. And then, you know, within that, there were some services and things like that. And then the main, the podium structure, which is the one that you see with this triangular-shaped roof form, which houses the two houses, yeah, the Senate and the House of Representatives. So the Day One, the Day One Rakyat and the Senate, which where the MPs then go and argue out our parliamentary system. Like argue, I'm not going to say argue, but you know, I mean, where parliament takes place. It's actually a very modern building. It is, you know, really quite a modern style, international, not typical of Malaysia or anything like that. I don't think that there's any of that in the exterior. What is unique, the unusual part is that triangular structure, you know, it's precast concrete. They were, you know, made into that roof above what is the podium block. And that is what, you know, is unique about it. And some people have said it's supposed to resemble, you know, the picture of a Malay house roof. I don't know. You know, then there are some other, you know, architectural sort of descriptions of it that say, no, it really wasn't. You know, yes, it was meant to look at a modern style. You know, we wanted a pitch because the rest of the building is flat. You know, I mean, it's like square, flat, you know, very modern. But then you have this pitch in the middle. You know, and whether that was the intention of the architect or not, I'm not so sure. But, I mean, there are interviews with him over that, which I've read, but that was some time ago. You know, I think that what he tried to do to incorporate certain elements, though, you know, when you're looking at the precast, you know, the facade, has got the, you know, it's wonderful when you see it up close, the terrazzo precast sunshading device that you see from afar, look like a shield, right? You know, breastplate shield. You know, it gives the building a strength, I think, in terms of its look, because it partially helps you with filtering out sun, shade and light because it's glass inside. So you have, it's a sunshading device. And then you have inside of it really very modern use of materials. The staircases were really very beautiful. You know, there were some wood elements, but it was a modern building and it was to represent a modern, a new, but modern nation, you know.
So that's the exterior design of the building, done and dusted. Now let's explore the interior.
Within the interior, there were certain things that the architect had tried to add in, which looked at public art. You know, I don't know. Again, it was things like, which in Malaysia, we a lot of these public buildings, the Museum Negara, for example, had this huge mural, two murals outside, built outside, right, designed by Chong Lai Tong, I mean, an artist, and constructed, you know, as part of the whole story, yeah, of the country, you know, the part of the history of the country, celebrating its multicultural dimension. You look at Dewan Bahasa, also on the main face, there is that mural that looks at us, you know, as a nation, and, you know, promoting, you know, Dewan Bahasa's, you know, as a literary agency. Those were sort of more elements which were, you know, just expressions of the art, you know, and the creative part. The rest of the building was really very modern, the style of the furniture, the way in which everything else was structured. Now the interior, though, has since been changed quite a lot. You know, the glass is now etched with sort of patterns from traditional, like Songket and things like that. You have the carpets that, you know, have got sort of, again, motifs that are derivative, supposed to be derivative of sort of different traditional patterning. You have doors that have now got carvings of, you know, big carvings with bunga raya and other things like that.
Do you think that the fact that we are a constitutional monarchy has an influence on how the building was designed, interior-wise, at least?
Well, you know, I think the like I said, when it was first built, yeah, it was really very international. Yeah, it was modern, international in style. So it wasn't sort of like something which was like localized Malaysian. You know, it wasn't like that where you could say, oh, I recognize it, it's Malaysian, you know. Minangkabau roof, you know, that sort of thing. It doesn't have that. But the architecture or the way in which I think the interior has been done up, I don't know whether it's so representative of the fact that we're a constitutional monarchy, but, you know, the large decorative elements that we see, I don't know, you know, it's like while they at the moment connect with our cultural heritage in the sense of, you know, you have the bunga raya, right, you know, the national flower, you have these, you know, representative designs based on Songket, you know, all that sense of it, yeah. It's so general, so you can see it elsewhere, things like that elsewhere. It's not unique.
The parliament was built during the early formative years of the country, and one common theme that I've observed with a building like this and other buildings of its ilk during that era was their location. They were built at the top of hills, and according to Elizabeth, that's a perfectly logical place to put buildings of that stature there.
You want to find a place, and do you put it in a valley or do you put it on a hill? If you put it on a hill, everybody sees it, right? If you put it in a valley, kind of like you have to kind of, you know, you stumble upon it, you uncover it, but you want to have it in a place which, you know, you can say is prominent, slightly outside the city centre, obviously, because if you build it in the city centre, you already have it quite crowded, so you find a place outside. It was close to the Lake Gardens. Mm-hmm. It was not so far away from, you know, the residency building. And it was, you know, on a piece of land that you didn't have to kick lots of people out. You didn't have to, you know, recreate. And yes, it is on. But, you know, Kuala Lumpur is full of hills. And so, which means we have a lot of, you know, I mean, the topography of the land is that. So quite naturally, if you're looking at something like Carcosa, which is built on a hill overlooking Lake Gardens, this is sort of on the way as well, close enough, but where you can actually make a statement. You know, if you think about it, I mean, where were castles built? Where were forts built? You know, where you can say, look at me, right? I'm here and I'm here to stay. But also where you can command. You not only you command a view from the outside in, but you command a view. I can see you, right? Because I'm higher. I'm on higher ground, that is. So it means that I can see what's going on around me. So yes, it becomes symbolic in that sense.
We've been talking about the Parliament Building with our guest of the week, Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia. And speaking of the Parliament, the immediate imagery that one has of it is, of course, that White Tower. It has always been the more prominent symbol of the Parliament, whether seen from the streets or even at the back of the old 50 cent coin. But do you know that the halls for the Dewan Rakyat or the House of Representatives and the Dewan Senat or House of Senate are actually in the other building? This makes me think of the function of buildings as symbols or representations of ideas and ideologies, and whether, as exemplified by the Parliament, a stronger and more accurate representation should be put at the forefront as a symbol.
I suppose when I think about Parliament building, never mind what it represents, is Parliament, and I see both parts, that is the tower as well as the podium block with that triangular roof structure, which is very distinctive. Mm. So you see it, which, you know, the government taking place or the argument or the action of democracy taking place, shall we say, you know, in the podium block as opposed to the tower block is not something that most people think about. And you're right. I mean, most people will see Parliament and they will think about that, the tower, because it's tall. Right? So it becomes obvious. That's the one that's lit, you know, and when you drive by nowadays, you know, you set colour lights and things like that, you know, that you will get the in August, you will always have your red, white, and blue, in yellow lights, strips per floor, for example. You will have that kind of a thing. That, I think, is something that we can say, you know, is something creative as a symbol. Do we need more? We actually have them, don't you think? I mean, you know, something like in the 1980s, the Daibumi complex was a very strong, you know, symbol of modernity, you know, and the styling of the motif that you had on the outside. And people will say, oh, okay, right, fine. And they will see it as they will have a very strong sense of, you know, a Muslim star. You know, that 16-point star. You would 8-point star. So I think it's not just about whether a building can show it as a symbol, but actually sometimes, you know, the activity that takes place within it that then becomes associated with that building. And if you repeat that image many times, you get it in your head, right? You know, like, so people think of Stadium Merdeka, but they actually don't think of Stadium Merdeka. They think of Tunku in Stadium Merdeka. I mean, when we think of the Parliament House, we look at, as you said, our coin, right? And we see the tower more than we see the triangular shape, the podium block, because it's just there more dominant. But maybe, you know, does it matter that we don't see where the action takes place, so to speak, as the dominant part? I don't know that it matters. It is still a symbol. You look at the Twin Towers, the Petronas Twin Towers. Now, you know, there are three towers, right? You don't really think about the third tower because it's slightly different in design. It is different in design. It's not as tall either. But you have Tower 1, Tower 2, and that's what you remember. And that those are, you know, huge, completely modern, you know, buildings now over 20 years old. But, you know, still, in terms of its time, they were representative and they were like statement buildings, lah. And I think that when you look at the statement they are making, whether they last into the next generation will tell you how good the architecture was. Because some things were built as a statement building, but, you know, from day one, nobody liked them. And, you know, in 30 years later, people are also saying, you know, really, they weren't well designed. So I think it is what is the architectural intention, the design intention behind that? And if that can be translated into the structure as you see it, that's where you know where you have a good architect, where you may not have such a good architect, who's able to pick up the essence of what you want to say. And it doesn't have to be in a traditional form. It doesn't have to be in a modern form. It really very much depends, I would think.
Here's some fun trivia for you if you're into that kind of stuff. There's a deer park next to the Parliament complex. Yes, you heard that right, a deer park. And according to the official portal of Parliament of Malaysia, the axis deers came from the first pair given by then President of Indonesia Suharto to our Parliament.
I mean, I think that's quite cool, actually. But I think what's really cool about Parliament is, you know, the fact that, you know, it was out there. There wasn't a road called Jalan Parliament. That road was built specifically to lead to the Parliament House. The road itself was part of another road. And it sort of wandered a bit, okay? It wasn't a straight road. Now you look at Parliament. Jalan Parliament. Jalan Parliament is a straight road, right? And it leads you from the city centre to the Parliament House. They straightened that road. It went through by Lake Gardens, and Lake Gardens was... It went through a place called the Seven Dials. I don't know. There was a place which is now where the junction to the Tugu is. There were seven roads. Now you only see four. There were seven roads leading in to that area, and that was called the Seven Dials. And so they straightened that road. They went through that, past Seven Dials, and up to Parliament. So that was newly created. And then what is now the ISIS building was where the Speaker lived, Speaker of the House lived. Was, you know, that was his headquarters, near enough to Parliament, right? So Parliament Road has got, Jalan Parliament has got a history, and that's directly related to the building of Parliament. And Jalan Duta, the other thing that, you know, I like is the fact that there is Jalan Duta. And Jalan Duta only came about because of Jalan Parliament. And Jalan Duta was because the Duta were supposed to move out there. They wanted all the embassies to be there. Except now you have the palace, of course, off of Jalan Duta, which is no longer called Jalan Duta. But that's the origin of Jalan Duta. It was meant for embassies and then the government quarters, you know, the government structures at the end, which, you know, were the, which you, now you see like Arkib is there, the archives and the old government buildings, the JKR buildings, the income tax department, you know, they were all out there, you know, at the end of that road. So those two roads link back to the history and the story of the parliament. This West Folly Road, which is where, no, Folly no longer exists. I mean, that sort of disappeared, you know, in the story of Parliament, you know. But I think that to me is sort of part of the story of KL as well, and how it developed and you know, what was around there in terms of, you know, we were close enough, but we had this ceremonial road going up to the Parliament House with a deer park, as you said. You know, but like I said, I think it would be really great if we, the Rakyat, you know, could have more access to it. When I went into the building in the early 2000s, the thing that I liked the best were of the cantilevered steps. So you had these steps that were cantilevered, a spiral staircase that went down into the ground floor, which was where the library was, and the handrail and all of that, beautifully constructed. And the furniture, they had put it into the basement, was actually all designed for very modern style furniture that was all designed, but sort of like not recognized anymore, you know, but it was built, was designed for Parliament, for this very modern building. You know, you built everything and you built your own furniture to fit into your house and into whatever else you were going to do. But now we, of course, have sort of bigger, grander chairs and, you know, things that look quite different. But what was really nice about it was that you could have that, you had a sense of the architecture and the interior styling. There is a wonderful surau there that was built into the thing. And if you were to go there, I would recommend a visit to the surau. It's got wonderful paneling, and it is really a very nice space. And on the top floor of the tower block, there is kind of like an open area that you can actually stand in. You have a great view of the city. I mean, it looks toward KL if you are on, you know, the front side of the building and you look toward KL and you have this really quite uninterrupted view because there are no tall buildings in between Parliament House, thank goodness, and, you know, until you get to Bank Negara. And because you're on a rise, you don't have, I mean, a bit more to your left and right, obviously, with Damansara and things like that. But, you know, that vista straight in. And I really hope it will always remain uninterrupted because it is such, it is important to keep that. You know, that was the intention, you know, to present you with that ceremonial view. We all drive too fast on Jalan Parliament. We ignore it. We whiz along. And so I think that for me, you know, if we could slow down and think about this and find a way of sort of observing our surroundings and looking at the building, maybe it will give us, you know, a little bit more of a sense of pride in our whole democratic process, you know, where we were and certainly especially in this last year where we've come to.
You've been listening to I Love KL, and this week we explore the narratives of the Parliament building with the help from Elizabeth Cardosa of Badan Warisan Malaysia. And that marks the end of I Love KL's monthly feature on historical buildings and places in the Klang Valley. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also available on Spotify, so do check us out on that platform. And while you're at it, don't forget to follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.